All right, so this is our study in Colossians, Walking in Strength and Power. This is week one, and we'll do an introduction. The first thing I want to ask is the question, why do we gather together as women of the Word? As women, as Christian women, why do we gather together? What is the purpose of that? And I thought of a couple answers to that question this week. The first, probably least important reason, but my husband's reason is he calls us women with many words. And it is true. We are geared a little bit differently than men. Like, this is how we process life. We have more words. We have a higher need for fellowship. We are much more relational. And so it makes sense for us to have one additional gathering throughout the week so that we can dialogue and we can process things together. A more important reason is, as women, we have an incredible sphere of influence in our lives. You've heard the saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. In general, we raise the next generation. We impart to them their biblical worldview. How they perceive everything is often, you know, into our hands to do. And so because we have such a sphere of influence, it makes a lot of sense for us to take time to open up the Word of God, to see what it says, to absorb it, to look at doctrine, to look at theology, to have that in our mind, in our hearts, on our lips. So when those teachable moments come with our own children, with people around us, with our nieces, our nephews, whoever, we are ready with an answer, and we have the words that come out of our mouth are good, quality, wise words, right? Third reason we gather together is life is hard. Life is challenging from any time, one time to the next time. We can be, I won't ask you to raise hands, but if I ask who's in a really challenging season, at least half of us at any given time would say, yes, this right now is a really challenging season. And so we can really benefit from this time to, for an hour and a half, set the world aside, be in God's Word, worship, and to have others around us to help us carry that load. So I think we have good reasons to gather together in a women's Bible study. I feel like my job, kind of as Paul's wife, and given the platform I've been given, is to help us kind of circle the wagons once in a while and say, let's gather together and let's make a feast. Let's do this. And so our gathering together, to me, is kind of like that feast. It's kind of like a potluck in a way. Like, I'll do a job, Dawn will do a job, you'll all do a job. And every week, I promise, if I'm the one that's teaching, I will bring a main dish. Okay? You will all, through your study through the week and what you've discovered, you will all work a little bit too. And you'll bring some side dishes. You'll bring some salads and some desserts and some bread and some fruit and that sort of thing. And, you know, some weeks the main dish might be, that wasn't very tasty. But the great thing is you'll have all these side dishes at your table. And when you go to discussion time, there should be plenty, okay? And maybe another week, like, the main dish is pretty good. And it's like, where are all the side dishes? Like, did you guys not do your lesson? But so I think between all of us, we'll get it covered, okay? Who knows? Who knows what it's going to be every week, but it'll be good. What I want you to say is, you don't have a lot of pressure. I don't have a lot of pressure, but we all do have the pressure, okay? So we're sharing that evenly. So what I'd like to do is share with you a little bit of what our method is going to be for this study session. And I want to point out the study guide. Don't open it yet. I'll tell you when to open it. This is the study guide for this session, Walking in Strength, which is 4 weeks long today and 3 more weeks. We've done study guides before, and I want to call this a directed study guide, because as you go through this, it directs your attention to something in particular in the Scripture. We've done this for Joshua, for Galatians, for John, parts of John, when we did Jesus the Great I Am, for Philippians. And some of you love this. I've kind of asked for feedback now that we've done this for a while. Some of you love the boundaries of a directed study guide and just the format of it. We've also done the SOAP method for the book of Ephesians. And some of you enjoy that inductive study where you discover everything on your own. So what I'm doing this time is saying, do what you want. Whatever works best for you, you can use either option. And so this is a four-week study that we're, I'm sorry, this is a four-day per week study. There is four parts. So now you may open your study guide. The first page is just sort of a little introductory letter from me. You can read later. But you will see that as you open the next page, it says week one, day one, week one, day two, week one, day three, week one, day four. So on this coming week, you have 4 days of study. I would encourage you to figure out what those days are going to be, kind of find a routine. Some of you can do it first thing in the morning. Some of you that's just doesn't work. Maybe lunch hour, maybe after dinner, set the kids to clearing off table and loading the dishwasher and you get your 20 minutes, whatever. But this is the format that we're going to use. And you'll see each one, it says read and write Colossians, blah, 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 in your journal. So what I'd like you to do is grab a 10-cent Walmart notebook or go buy a beautiful $8 journal in our bookstore. Anything is fine. But I have a goal for this season, and that is for all 82 women who are signed up for our Bible study to write out the book of Colossians in their own handwriting in their notebook. That part is not optional. You must do that part, okay? I think there's something really awesome, really, that happens when we read the word as slowly as we write the word. It's just great. Now, if you want to write, so that should be always the first thing that you do is see what scripture we're on, open up your Bible, and write it in your journal or your notebook. After that, you can go directly to the study guide and do the page that is in the study guide. Or if you want to, you can use the SOAP method, which is on the back page in this booklet, and it explains how to do that. I don't want to take a lot of time to go through this because, you know, many of you, over half of you, know it. You've been here before. You've done it. So I'm just going to let you read that. And if you would like a sample of what it looks like, right back where Dawn's at, right under the thermostat, there's actually a sample page of one particular scripture done in this SOAP. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. So I hope I've made the method that we're doing, I hope I've made it eclectic enough that any and all of you can find a little niche that this fits the bill for you. But I will say when we come to discussion time, probably your discussion leaders will lift a few questions out of here, so you might want to at least look through this as well. So our Colossians study, this part one is called Walking in Strength. And over this 4 weeks, we're only going to cover 34 verses. That's less than 10 verses a week. And that's like just about 2 or 3 verses a day. So you can expect us to take small, little, dense bites of scripture. That's what this first 4 weeks is going to look like for us. And I designed this Bible study this fall in two parts for a reason. First of all, we have a women's retreat that chops our fall in half. It happens every year. So we have this fall section before our women's retreat and this fall section after our women's retreat. And I thought, why fight against that? Let's just have two different Bible studies, one before and one after. So Colossians part one is before. Colossians part two starts after with a whole new study guide. So if you have anybody, if you run across anybody in the next 4 weeks that you think should join you in Bible study, that's a great time to step in because they'll feel like they're at the beginning because they're at the very front of the next booklet. The other reason I thought it would be good to do it in two parts is Paul's letter is in two parts. As he wrote most of his letter, the letter to the Colossians is two distinct parts. There is a doctrinal half, and there is a Christian living half. And it just falls so nicely with our calendar for our women's ministry that I thought, good, that's a good fit. Let's go with that. And I also wanted to just slow down enough during this first part to really get that spiritual strength workout that we're looking for. And if you were here in August, you know that we've kind of created a fitness theme to go along with this Bible study to help us wrap our minds around what it is that Paul is writing. And this first half is our weight training part. The first 4 weeks is all weight training. The second one is going to be our cardio training, okay? But this is weight training. And what I mean by that, in the same way that I should have our weight training experts here come and do this for me, but I will do it, it's going to be slow and steady and stationary, okay? If you work out with weights, you're going to do some small, very purposeful muscle movements, right? And we as well are going to consume small, very dense bites of doctrine in this first half of Colossians. The purpose is for us to spiritually train ourselves to understand God's plan, to understand what he's saying to us. If you want to open your Bibles, you sure can, to Colossians chapter 1. And there's a few verses that I want to share just in a way to inspire you to this whole study. It's verses 9, 10, and 11. And you can look at them with me. But as Paul was praying for the people and kind of introducing, he said in the middle of verse 9, Paul says, "We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." Do you see the two parts? He says, I pray for you that you would be filled, you would be strengthened, you would be made fat, you would grow, you know, fat in the biblical term of, you know, growing. That's okay. I probably shouldn't use that, but I kind of like it. that you would be filled with the knowledge of God. Why? So as to walk. We fill up first, we get strengthened, and so that we can walk in our life. And he says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Three things: fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That was Paul's heart for the people in Colossae, and I think that's God's heart for us, that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will so that we can walk. And then here's where our fitness theme comes in verse 11. He says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for what? Endurance, patience, and joy. And when you think about your particular walk in life, we need endurance. It goes on and on, right? We need endurance. We need patience to see God work out the things in life that we want to see differently. And we need joy, because if we're not joyful, we're just not fun to be around at all, you know? So these are the things that Paul had in mind as well. So with that, I'd like to just take the last few minutes that we have, and I want to do a little bit of a history and a background on this book for you. It's not going to be in-depth, but Colossians, the book of Colossians in our New Testament, is simply a letter that was put into our New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul to the people in Colossae while he was in prison in Rome. That is the one sentence background of this book, okay? It is one of the prison epistles that he wrote. Epistle just means letter. And it probably was, along with the letter to Philemon, the first letter that he wrote when he was there. And it was written to a small group of believers in the town of Colossae. But the story really begins with Paul's 2 to 3 year stay in a different town, in the town of Ephesus, which is about 100 miles away from Colossae. So you can kind of think like Ontario to Mountain Home. Is that about 100 miles? Does that seem out there? Yeah. So that's how far apart those two towns were. And you see, Paul never traveled to Colossae that we know of. He was never there. So he didn't start that church, and he didn't know those people. But one young man, while Paul was in Ephesus, there was a young man who was influenced by Paul's teaching of the gospel, and his life journey took him from Ephesus to Colossae. And because he had been influenced and taught by Paul, He was the one that started this church, started a group of believers, that evangelized the town, that spread the gospel there. So in a way, Paul is the grandfather of the church in Colossae, but not the founder of it. When you get to verse 7 in your study this week, you will find out that this man's name is Epaphras, and he was the one that started the church, and now comes to Rome to talk to Paul about what's going on in the church that he had started. One thing I love about this letter is that it's written to a relatively small church like ours. It is written to a relatively small town like ours. And Paul had never been there. Like, whoever comes to Ontario? So I feel like a real identity to Colossae, you know, like we're just out there and people, oh yeah, I've heard of that, you know. But why did he write the letter? So why bother? He doesn't know the people. He didn't start the church. He has no sense of responsibility. Why write to them? And I'll just read you what Warren Wiersbe says about that, because he just says it well. A crisis has occurred that was about to destroy the peace, purity, and ministry of the church. So it was in response to a crisis. It was a combination of man-made philosophies of Eastern religions, Jewish legalism, elements of Gnosticism. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means to know. We use it. You probably all know the word agnostic, which means someone who believes God is not knowable. They can't know God. So the word gnosis basically means to know. And he goes on to say the Gnostics were people who were in the know when it came to the deep things of God. And so they were influencing this very young church. So these were all of the things that were coming against this young body of believers, and they were in crisis because of so many voices coming to say, no, it's this way, it's that way, think about this. And Paul felt it wise to write a letter. It probably shows us why these 34 verses that we're going to cover in the next 3 weeks are all about Jesus. It's just, Jesus is this, Jesus is this. Paul needs them to have a solid foundation of doctrine, because if they don't understand Jesus, they're going to lose everything. Now, what about us? How can we apply something like that to us? We're not facing the same mix of Eastern philosophies to that degree, or Jewish legalism, mysticism, pagan ideas. We do have lots of false teachings. We do have plenty of things, and we do have a kind of a little bit of something for everybody overlay on our Christianity that kind of adds whatever you want to add to it, that's good. We face that in our culture. But I read something Wednesday that I wrote in my notes I wanted to share with you that really did grip me to help us see some of the crises that we face right now. And on Wednesday, I read an article from the Gospel Coalition. I actually posted it on our Facebook page, our Women of the Word Facebook page. If you're not on it, you can go home, like it, and then you'll get things like this. But I want to quote to you what this man wrote. And I want you to hold in mind what Warren Wiersbe just said about the crisis going on in Colossae. And now listen to this. What makes the current moral and sexual revolution so different from previous moral revolutions is that it is taking place at an utterly unprecedented velocity. Previous generations experienced moral revolutions over decades, even centuries. This current revolution is happening at warp speed. As the church responds to this revolution, we must remember that current debates on sexuality present to the church a crisis that is irreducibly and inescapably theological. The crisis is tantamount to the type of theological crisis that Gnosticism presented to the early church. In other words, the crisis of sexuality challenges the church's understanding of the gospel, sin, salvation, and sanctification. Advocates of the new morality demand a complete reordering of theology and a fundamental change to how we think about the church's ministry. See, we are facing something exactly the same as what the Colossians faced. What the influence that was coming to them was demanding a reordering of the gospel that they had heard in order to accommodate what was coming to them. We have things coming at us that are demanding a reordering of our theology in order to accommodate the new teachings coming in. So we are in crisis, aren't we? We have a moral crisis that we're facing. So I just wanted to bring you some of that to convince you that there's a lot to apply in this text in our Bible, in this letter that Paul wrote to our particular lives, and just to inspire you for the study. So now what I want to do in the very last time that we have is go ahead and start and just cover the first two verses that we have. And so let's read them. You can read along with me. I am using the ESV as I read, and also your study guide is written with ESV. You can obviously use whatever translation you like best. But it begins, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father." And so we see that the first thing is we find out the author, Paul. We hear his name. We realize he's the author of this book. And we don't really have the time it takes to do a background on Paul, but it doesn't matter because Pastor Paul will get to his conversion in just 2 weeks, probably, since we're in the book of Acts. And so we'll go along with that as we study Colossians. But after Paul was converted, he spent a little bit of time in Antioch. The church there recognized the gift God had given him and sent him out as an apostle. It says Paul, an apostle. Apostle merely means one sent out. The early church in Antioch sent out Barnabas and Paul, and they were called Barnabas and Paul briefly. And then Paul's gifting really showed forth, and from then on it was Paul and Barnabas, because his leadership they kind of changed positions. But Paul and Barnabas went on a missionary journey, and then Paul went on three missionary journeys with different companions, and that it was on his third missionary journey that he spent that time in Ephesus that I talked about, where Epaphras heard the gospel from Paul, traveled the 100 miles, ended up in Colossae, started a church in Colossae. It seems that Paul wrote this letter about 5 to 7 years after his ministry in Ephesus. That's not very long. When I think about 5 to 7 years, so what I'm saying is, this young church, Epaphras, could have only had between 5 to 7 years, maybe not even that long, to have heard the gospel in Ephesus, taken it to Colossae, and then founded that church. They were a very young church. I still think we're a very young church at 23 years old, and now I'm thinking, well, that's a long time. Like, we should have super stout, mature believers, and we do. But that, I want you to hold that perspective. They couldn't have been in the Lord much longer than 5 to 7 years, maybe 8. And so they were still pretty young and impressionable people. Now I want to get to the part, the next phrase. It says, Paul, an apostle, by the will of God. And this is the part I really want to land on to give us something to chew on in our discussion groups. Paul became an apostle by the will of God. It's not maybe what he set out to do in life. Certainly before his conversion, he did not set out to be an apostle. He was persecuting the church. After his conversion, I always suspect Paul would have wanted to minister to the Jews, to his own people, to sort of undo the damage that he did in his early life. I always thought that would have been his choice. But God had a different choice for him, and God made him an apostle to the Gentiles. He even says, in fact, in Romans 11, he says, I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry. He accepted what God did by God's will. So Paul was an apostle by the will of God. What about Epaphras? What was Epaphras by the will of God? Well, remember, it wasn't the grand apostle Paul that traveled to Colossae, evangelized, and started that church. It was this believer named Epaphras that did that. And so he, if he were writing a letter, he could say, Epaphras, starter of the church in Colossae, by the will of God. What I'm leading up to is that everyone who is in Christ has a blank that you can fill in. Sue, what am I? By the will of God. Each one of you, put your name. I am this, by the will of God. So I want to ask you, what are you by the will of God? How has God led you in your life? What are the paths? Epaphras was led on a path that took him from Ephesus to Colossae. Maybe some of you have been moved and shifted a little bit that have led you here to this very day. Have you become something different by the will of God than what you planned in your life? I know I have. Are you a mother by the will of God? Are you a healthcare worker by the will of God? Are you a musician by the will of God? Are you a teacher by the will of God? What aren't you by the will of God? Paul was not an apostle to the Jews by the will of God. God closed that door. Have you had doors closed in your life, and are you okay with those? Because that is how God led you. I was thinking about just Paul and I and the things that we're not. For one thing, he's not a ventriloquist by the word of God, which was like his first occupation in life. In second grade, he had a little dummy and he would do little programs for this class. But God like took him a different direction. So then he was going to be a rock and roll disc jockey. And, you know, did that for a while until we got saved. And then God directed him to something different. So, and I think about my own life, you know, I had some things I wanted to do in high school. And, well, I'll even tell you really quickly. So in high school, like, I really enjoyed the biology class. I did it 3 years. I just kept doing it and being a teacher assistant and all that kind of stuff. And I was headed to this particular medical career. And I got to college. And if you were in that medical track, you had to take Introduction to Allied Health. The very first, it was like a one-credit class that you did for a week. And the first day of that class, you went to the hospital. And the first 2 minutes in the hospital, I look around and went, not me. I'm not going to be here. I had no idea. I was always so grateful that they did that in college. It's like, thank you very much. And I changed track after 3 years of thinking that's what I wanted to be. And then I did banking for a while, and I thought, oh, that's a good fit. You know, numbers are my friends. I don't mind them. They don't scare me. I'm organized. I can put them into, you know, I'll just do banking. And in the early 80s, that was a great thing for a woman without a formal education, you know, to work her way up. And I was ambitious and career-minded, and I thought, that's what I'm going to be. But you know how God led eventually? I ended up being a homeschooler for 25 years and a pastor's wife, by the will of God. And it's fine. I feel like I can say, like Paul, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And I hope you can say that too with what God. But that's our first discussion question. And so when we get to discussion now, I want, starting with the leader, I want each of you just to get to know each other. And we did this last night. I loved it. I learned so much about a couple of the ladies at our table by answering that question. So I want you to each answer the question. I am blank by the will of God. It doesn't mean you have to get paid for this, okay? It just means, like, occupationally, what do you do with your time by the will of God? And then I want you to answer another question that is a little bit more like gifting and personality to add to that. I am also blank by the will of God. For example, for me, I can say, I am an organizer by the will of God. It's just what he wired into me. It's just the way I am. You might say, I am a good listener by the will of God. Or I am an encourager by the will of God. It's what you find yourself doing all the time. And you kind of go, huh, God made me this way. So it's fun to find out. This is our way to get to know each other a little bit at our tables. And then also there's some other questions on the back of why you're here. But anyway, I just want to lead you. We didn't get very far in the scripture, did we? Paul, an apostle by the will of God. But you know what? Now we'll go. We'll have our week to start into these next verses and do that. So I hope I gave you enough information so that you know what to do, how to do it, and now I'll let you just get to know each other. I'm going to give you a full 15 minutes, of discussion, and then Donna's going to come and explain how we're going to do prayer partners. So I'll just close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this book. We're excited to dig in. We're excited to grow our spiritual muscles so that we can just have our foundation firm and set on you, Lord. And I pray that you would enable us. I pray this week for each of us that we would have the opportunity to be diligent, to search the scriptures, to make our notes, to learn something, to apply things to our life, and to move forward from here. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.